here with the CESA report with Phil Korman, the executive director of CESA, the community involved in sustaining agriculture. And the guest today is Dana Goodfield, who runs Stonegate Farm, along with his wife, Kathy, up in Conway. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
We're going to be talking about a maple sugar operation today. The season is upon us.
Sure is.
You brought in some bottles here today, and I noticed that one of them is darker than the other. And I always wondered about that. Is that a byproduct of the process, or is it intentionally one darker or one lighter?
No, it's pretty hard to control. Keeping all your tanks and everything clean, rinsing them out frequently will tend to keep your lighter syrup. Towards the end of the season, it will be quite dark.
So right now, you know, the season has started. The temperatures outside are warm. How is the sap flowing right now?
Flowing extremely well. For us being on vacuum, you know, we don't depend on the cold nights.
So just to remind folks that the ideal temperatures are usually considered to be under 32 at night and above 32, maybe even low 40s during the day or warmer.
Now, Dana, this is sort of a childhood dream of yours. Many people, of course, in Northampton would know you immediately, Dana Goodfield, who was involved in the automotive industry for years and years and years. So this is sort of a childhood dream put on hold to start a maple sugar operation.
That's right, and I honestly don't know what kicked it off originally, but when I was 10 or 12 years old, I tapped 6 or 8 trees down in Connecticut. I grew up in Reading, Connecticut. Boiled the sap in the backyard in an old sheet metal stove. The stuff we made was pretty horrible, but we thought it was great.
His 12-year-old activities is what I do now.
Right.
7, 8 trees I tap, I boil outside, I come away with 2 gallons of maple syrup.
The magic number is 86, and 86 divided by your sugar content. Hope it doesn't get below 1.5%. Good, strong trees that are on buckets will run 2.5 to 3%. Most of our sap is 1.5 to 2%. So 86 divided by, say, 2% is 43.
Right.
So it takes 43 gallons of that sap to make a gallon of syrup.
What does sap taste like right out of the tree?
Sweet.
It's like taking a gallon of maple syrup and adding 40 gallons of water, you would still taste the sweetness.
In fact, there are people now that are bottling sap, selling maple water.
How many trees do you have?
We're running about 2,600 taps.
I know that you've got some advanced processes here that reduce energy consumption and carbon footprint.
That is very interesting. I run a very small evaporator. It's 30 inches by 6 feet. And that evaporator, with no enhancements anywhere along the line, would take about an hour to make a gallon of syrup. And it burns 6 gallons of fuel oil. Well, obviously, those numbers don't work. So the first thing we do is run all the sap through what's called a reverse osmosis. And that takes at least 80% of the water out of the sap. We're running about a 20% concentrate, means 4.1 gallons of that to make a gallon of syrup.
The state actually provides these energy efficient grant awards, the Department of Agricultural Resources, and I believe Stonegate Farm received reverse osmosis.
Mm-hmm. Stonegate Farm is who we're talking about here from Bardswell Ferry Road in Conway, Mass. Dana Goodfield is here. He and his wife, Kathy, run the operation. On my property, I have swamp maples. 3 or 4 of these on my property. Mm. Swamp maple is not something you tap.
Yeah, you would.
You could? I could tap it?
Yeah, the sugar content would not be as high. We have some swamp maples.
Yeah.
And then beyond the reverse osmosis, we have what's called a steam away that sits on top of our evaporator, that this little 30 by 6 evaporator can produce 15 gallons of syrup an hour. Yesterday, I made 40 gallons of syrup in 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Do we get to be maple syrup snobs and taste what you bought?
Absolutely.
What's the order in which we should taste this? Yes. Lighter to darker or darker to lighter?
No, let's start with the light.
I see you got little cups there that you're going to put this up. I don't need the cup. Just give me the bottle.
It's work time here, Bob.
Is it proper to toast someone? Well, Dana, I toast you.
Yes.
For bringing this stuff in. Oh, my God. Not good.
You know, dreams are so sweet.
I thought I lost you there, Phil, for a minute. You look like you've gone somewhere else. Oh, God, that's great.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like being new to this?
Well, it's quite a learning curve. We go to a lot of seminars. It's an industry that's continually evolving. There's always something new. I'm on the board with Mass Maple Producers, and we go to the North American Maple Producers Council every year.
Now, a lot of people have probably wondered, boy, whatever happened to Dana? People think he retired. You're not retired.
Not really.
You're busier now than ever.
Yeah, I don't know how I did this when I was working. It must have been smarter or something. I don't know.
So really, to run a sugar house, you first have to have a first career in the car industry that spans 30, 40 years, and then you have the know-it-all and the resources to embark on your childhood dream.
It doesn't hurt, I guess.
I would imagine, since you're so used to cars and looking under the hood and everything, I would imagine if something goes wrong with the operation, you can roll up your sleeves and get right in there with a wrench, right?
Oh, you have to. I have a toolbox set up right in the sugar house because, as I said earlier, when things happen, they can happen fast, and you've got to be able to deal with it.
This has been our CESA Report with Phil Korman, the executive director of CESA, the community involved in sustaining agriculture. And our guest today has been Dana Goodfield from Stonegate Farm, and the Stonegate Sugar Operation is underway as we speak. Phil, good to see you.
Thank you.
Dana, good to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Phil.